What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
We're live.
And good afternoon, and welcome to Awakened Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Ryobe, and you're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio. And today we are live. Our number is area code 646-558-8656. And as always, hit *9 to raise your hand for any questions, comments you may have. They're always so welcome and just always so wonderful. So spring is in the air. Happy spring equinox to everyone. And so for those of us in the spiritual community, we know that this is New Year and not January 1st. So happy New Year to everyone. And so what makes spring the new year, right? Well, we just look out in nature and see, right? So leaves are budding, flowers are budding, the grass is growing. The birds are flying back north, you know, the snowbirds in Florida are also flying back north. So we know spring's in the air when we see these signs. And so the idea that we have a new year that's in the dark in the winter is a little weird, right? And that could be one of the reasons, you know, that we get thrown off. So today's topic is the three biggest mental health mistakes that people make that increase their risk of depression and anxiety. And I always thought it was a little weird to be setting New Year's resolutions in the dark, right? In the winter, when things were slow, when things were supposed to be quiet, when nothing was growing in nature, right? So the idea of a New Year's resolution when nothing is growing was always kind of weird to me, until I realized that, you know, the astrology, how the planets align, and also how nature shows us when the new year is, was not in alignment with what the calendar said, right? And so this kind of throws people off. I know it's thrown me off for years. I finally stopped setting New Year's resolutions. I finally kind of just threw that all to the side. And going against nature, right? That is the number one mistake that we make. Not knowingly, right? So this is not purposeful on our part. We don't realize this. We just follow the calendar, right? We have this calendar with a clock, and you know, it tells us what time it is, what month it is, what day it is, and the whole world seems to go in rhythm with this timing. And so we feel that it's necessary for us to do the same thing, right? And then maybe we start to feel a little out of alignment, right? And spring is always a time of awakening, of renewal. And so it makes more sense that spring is actually the new year. And so, you know, this is when certain religions also celebrate times of renewal, rebirth, right? And so I think the number one mistake that we make as a society, and again, this is not to blame any individual. I don't believe that people make conscious choices not to follow the norm, right? But we can make a conscious choice to question the norm, right? And start to see how we can flow a little bit more with nature as opposed to the norm. And in healthcare in particular, we have flown against nature for so long, you know, for hundreds of years, we have been going against nature. In fact, when I went to medical school and I went into residency, the vibe that you got with residency training was that nature was broken and needed to be fixed, that nature made mistakes that man had to figure out how to fix, right? And it wasn't until I got a little deeper in my spiritual journey that I realized how ridiculous that was. But this is how we're trained, you know? And so we think that, you know, diseases arise because nature is imperfect. And so we have to go and fix it, right? And what I've come to realize in the study of Eastern medicine and holistic medicine is nature's actually perfect. It is the fact that as a society, we have put ourselves so out of balance with nature that we have kind of broken ourselves, right? And so it's not nature that's broken. It's actually our mentality to be a force against nature that is broken, right? It is our desire to conquer nature, our desire to control nature that is broken in a sense. And so if we simply allow ourselves to fall back into a natural rhythm, we can fix a lot of things. And I believe mental health is one of the things we can fix by going back into nature. And so there have been studies on this. So this is not, you know, of course, by any means a new concept, right? There are many, many studies now that show us that nature is actually a built-in antidepressant. You know, being in contact with the planet, grounding yourself, even so much as touching a tree, as crazy as that sounds, right? We now have studies, medical studies, science studies, we'll call them, because it is medicine, but it's, you know, what we would identify as more scientific. But there's an entire ecosystem under the ground that we don't see that allows trees to communicate with each other in ways we don't even understand yet. It has to do with fungus and the ecosystem of fungi. And so one tree communicates with a tree miles away through the ether, as it appears, right? But it's actually happening underground. And we're just beginning to scratch the surface to understand how do trees develop immunity to diseases that other trees have developed? How do they know? And it's through this communication pathway. And the more we look at nature, you know, we see birds flying in formation in the sky. How do they do that, right? And we can't do it, right? We have to build airplanes and do all these other things to figure it out, to even begin to do the same things as a bird that's in sync with nature, you know, can do. How do they do it, right? There is an unseen, unspoken communication in nature that balances everything, right? How do seeds know how to grow in the ground, right? How come seeds don't grow downwards? How come they grow upwards? You know, what is the mechanism there? After a while, you just have to trust that nature knows it, right? Sometimes there are things we just don't understand. There are things we won't understand for perhaps thousands of years, if ever, right? But it happens, and we witness it every spring. Every spring, we see the seeds germinating and the buds growing up and out of the ground, right? We don't see a bunch of seeds growing down into the ground, right? And so nature knows what it's doing. And in fact, nature is perfect. And so if we ground ourselves in nature, you know, and I'm not suggesting, you know, that we turn off the lights, don't use our electricity. You know, I'm not suggesting that we go backwards in time. What I'm suggesting is that we assimilate all of this technology that we've acquired, all of this knowledge that we've acquired, but also ground ourselves in nature. If you live up north in the snow, go out and, you know, make snow angels, go out and be, allow the reflection of the sun from the snow, you know, on your face. You know, of course, make sure that you're adequately dressed so you don't get sick, but be out, touch trees. Like there's science behind this now. You know, there is an unspoken communication that occurs when we ground ourselves in the soil or on the beach. If you live in, you know, lower latitude climates where it's warmer, go on the beach, walk on the sand, walk on the grass, you know, take your shoes off, be in the sun. Now, of course, if you're fair skinned, you want to be cautious in the sun. But if you go out at dawn and dusk, you will be the safest in the sun. And of course, you know, don't spend an extraordinary amount of time in the sun so that you don't burn yourself, burn your skin. but dawn and dusk are the best times to be out. There is some scientific data to back that up as well. That's when the infrared light from the sun is maximized. And there is data on infrared to show that it heals our cells, it heals our bodies. And so again, nature is its own built-in antidepressant. And so being out in nature is extremely important, regardless of climate. Now, of course, in extreme climates, you know, stay inside. But on all those other days, it cannot be emphasized enough how much people need to go back into nature. Take walks. If you can be barefoot on the ground, be barefoot on the ground. If you can have your skin exposed to the sun for a reasonable amount of time at dawn and dusk, do it. If you can't, of course, dress yourself appropriately, but still go outside. Just getting the sunlight in your eyes is therapeutic. You know, and not being boxed in the house. There's a lot to be said for getting sunlight, getting moonlight as well. You know, going out for walks at night, looking up at the stars. You know, all of these things that would allow us to blend back into nature are therapeutic. And help reduce the risk of depression and anxiety. If you live in a big city, go to a local park, go to a local community garden, you know, find a way, find the time. You know, time is a very flexible thing. You know, we always find the time to do what we want to do. And so when we prioritize our well-being, we'll find the time, right? People often will feel overwhelmed when they're starting to sink into a depression state. They feel like, I don't have time. I have to run and do this. I have to take my kids to daycare. I have to go to work. I have to do all these things. Another great thing to get back into nature is to just breathe. The way that we breathe is not natural. The way that we have learned how to breathe based in stress and fear-based living is not a natural breath. It's a very shallow, stressed out breath. And so nature did not intend for us to breathe that way. And so even if you're, you know, in your car and you're driving, trying to get to daycare on time, so you're not late, you know, to work for the third time this week or whatever it may be, as you're driving, right? As you're stopped at that red light, stop for just a few seconds and remember how to breathe, right? And make sure, you know, we did this, that 3-minute breathing technique where you simply take just through your nostrils. You don't mouth breathe when you're trying to calm your body. You don't mouth breathe when you're trying to raise your energy. You only breathe through the nostrils. And so what you do is you just take a nice simple 5-second inhale. You inhale for 5 seconds slowly. You shouldn't even hear yourself breathing. It should just be very quiet, but you take a 5-second inhale and then you let it out through the nostrils again for 5 seconds. Now, if you're not used to breathing that way, you may not be able to do that for 5 seconds. You may only get a 3-second in breath, but that's okay. It's just like going to the gym, right? When you first go to the gym, you can't lift that 10-pound weight. You know that if you keep going to the gym and you lift that 10-pound weight, you know, 2-3 times a week, eventually you'll move on to the 12-pound weight, right? Your muscles will respond. They'll grow. Same thing with your chest, the muscles surrounding your rib cage, they will grow and develop as you breathe more and more consistently, properly. And then they'll allow for you to take that 5-second breath pretty quickly, actually. So if you can only do 3 seconds in, 3 seconds out, do that. Eventually you'll get to 4 seconds in, 4 seconds out, and then eventually 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. And again, people ask, how does that work? How can you possibly breathe for 10 seconds straight? You can. It's actually very easy once you've practiced it. And also because your lungs are somewhat like triangles, my son always argues with me about this, but trust me, they're like triangles. You know, they're wider at the base than at the top, you know, so they're not, you know, completely geometric triangles, but they're much wider at the base than at the top. And so what happens is there's a lot more exchange of oxygen at the base, but if you're only taking very shallow 1 or 2 second breaths, you never get oxygen down that low. And so you're just breathing from here up. And you're not able to get as much oxygen into your body when you do that. But if you take a slower, deeper breath, you're going to drive oxygen down into the deeper parts of your lungs. And you're going to get way more oxygen into the bloodstream. So you actually breathe more by taking 6 breaths a minute, which is what a 10-second breath would do, right? So 60 seconds in a minute, divide that by 10 seconds per breath, and you only end up with 6 breaths. In medical school, we learned that that meant someone was dying, right? But now we understand not always, right? If you do that intentionally, on purpose, you're actually elevating your mood. You're actually reducing anxiety. You're actually increasing your metabolism, and you will then reduce your risk of depression and anxiety. So these are all the ways that we can plug back into nature. Another thing is to listen to, you know, natural sound. So if you live in an area where the climate perhaps is not conducive to you going out or what have you, listen to natural sounds. You know, now with YouTube, there's nothing you can't find out there. You can listen to birds chirping. You can listen to the sound of the ocean. You can listen to the wind. You can do all of these things to mimic nature if you can't actually be out in nature. So number one biggest mistake is we have, as a society, unplugged ourselves from nature. And so these are some tips to get plugged back in so that you can get rid of problem number one. Let's see, I think we may have a question. Oh, many. Okay. Most days I wake up feeling great. I would give it a 9. I get up and I notice a few aches, get my coffee, and then hit the road. Feel great. But if I rush out before my coffee, I just don't have the clear mind or motivation. I think this is from before. I'm sorry. Today's question. My old man thought I was crazy when I would moonbathe. I can now tell him you recommend doing so. Absolutely. Even when there's no moon, right? Even in the new moon, that's a great time. Like 2 days ago, right? Was the new moon. That's also a great time, right? That's when you get to recharge, right? You let go of the energy of the last moon cycle. You set your intention for the new moon cycle. You know, you walk in that energy, right? And you allow yourself to just be restored by nature, right? The reason nature is so powerful is because it's restorative. It's like a battery, you know, and the earth is literally a battery. Scientifically, the planet that we live in and on is actually a battery. And so just like any other battery anywhere else, you know, your car battery makes it move, right? Your phone battery makes it work. Same thing. The earth makes us work. Just like it makes the birds work in the sky, it makes the seeds work in the ground, it makes the ocean work. We have to plug back into this idea. And it's not just an idea, it's just a fact, right? It is what it is. And plugging back into that without losing what we've gained, right? We just don't want the side effects of what we've gained to take us down, right? We want to take the good from what we've gained and leave the bad, and then go back to the things that we maybe shouldn't have left behind, you know, in our rush to make advancement. So that's a great, great comment. Yeah, absolutely. And take them with you, right? Go for walks together. That's going to be mistake number 3. We'll get to that. Not having an accountability partner. So we'll get to that one. Question number 2, I cough when I deep breathe. Is that a good thing or not? Coughing, it depends, like everything, right? You should not cough when you take a deep breath. Sometimes what that is it's your body not being used to taking a deep breath. So it's almost like a stress response, the coughing. And so it could also be a sign of lung dryness, especially, you know, with the pandemic and people getting a lot of upper respiratory infections. COVID in particular, many other viruses cause a lot of heat in the body. Heat in traditional Chinese medicine is what we might loosely translate into acidity in our modern language. So heat is an actual thing, and it dries, right? Just like when things are too hot, they'll get dry. Same thing, when you're too acidic, either because you've been, in Chinese medicine, we call it an attack, right? You've been attacked by a pathogen such as a virus, the flu or a cold, especially if you already have a hot dynamic metabolic type, your risk of becoming more acidic if you get an infection is even higher. And so people will get this lung dryness. And so some of the things that you can do that are moistening, chrysanthemum tea, peppermint tea, if you have a hot dynamic metabolic type, peppermint tea should help that, chamomile tea, green tea, things that are cooling by their nature usually will get rid of lung dryness, and that should settle your cough. You also want to get your cough checked out, right? So make sure that you get evaluated by a physician, have your lungs checked, you know, with a stethoscope. Perhaps you need an x-ray, perhaps you need a CAT scan, just to make sure nothing else is going on. Sometimes cough can be a sign of asthma. So definitely get that checked out. In the absence of anything being, you know, structurally wrong, if you will, it's probably a little bit of lung dryness. Now, if you're coughing stuff up, like, you know, phlegm, then that's inflammatory. And then you want to kind of ask yourself, well, am I eating inflammatory food, right? And again, if you eat a lot of dairy, or if you eat a lot of wheat products or a lot of processed sugars, which is going to be mistake number two, we're coming up on that, then you'll want to reduce that. But what I would say is moisten the lungs with those teas and those types of foods. Nuts and seeds are moistening as well. And then just kind of practice doing the deep breathing. And then hopefully that cough will go away. So that's a good question. And I hope that helped. I use Alexa for ocean or storm sounds when I can't sleep. That's great. Yeah, absolutely. And you can do it all day, right? It doesn't have to be only when you can't sleep. You can't overdose on nature, right? And so if you can't go outside, if you can't get to the beach, you know, have some stuff in the background, right? Just have it playing in the background, just so that, you know, and change it up, you know, do different things that make you feel good, right? The journey is what matters the most, right? And so feeling good in every moment is really important, and doing what it is that you need to do to stay in that energy. So it's great that you do it when you can't sleep. I would get ahead of that and say, it's just what I do. You know, I just do this. I have music I love in the background. I have, you know, things that lift me up around me all the time. You know, that would be wonderful, but that's great. And absolutely, Alexa can step in and take care of that. It's easy to do, right? So congratulations on doing that. We're going to go for our first commercial break. You are listening to Awakened Wellness Now. We will be right back. Thank you.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milin Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milin the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milin is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, "Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network." For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Dog Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awaken Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milan Ryobe, and today's topic is the three biggest mistakes we make that increase our risk of depression and anxiety, and what to do about it, of course. So another question here, I read a few articles reporting that antidepressant medicine is not working, yet I've been on the medication for years, actually afraid to stop taking them. Do you think the articles were fake news? No. Again, it depends, right? The medication that we prescribe for depression does not correct the entire problem, right? The entire problem is not that, you know, we don't have enough serotonin production, although that is part of the problem. Antidepressant medication, what it does is it blocks the SSRIs, what are called the serotonin uptake inhibitors. Those are the most popular ones that are prescribed. What they do is they prevent your body from breaking down serotonin. Now, when you force your body to not break something down, your body will naturally make less of it because your body wants to balance itself. This is also the reason that Alzheimer's medication doesn't work for very long. Alzheimer's dementia is treated by actively blocking the body's ability to break down acetylcholine. Acetylcholine is a very important neurotransmitter. But if you artificially block your body's natural processes, it's going to do something to unblock or to respond to that, to bring back some type of balance, right? And so it's like we start playing this game of whack-a-mole. So it works in the beginning because your body hasn't yet made that other adjustment. And so this is what we see with antidepressants and Alzheimer's, even Alzheimer's treatment. So they'll work for a little bit and then people start to feel like, well, it's not working anymore. That's because your body has adjusted. Because if you force your body not to be able to break down what it would normally break down so it could make more, it will stop making more. Right? That's just common sense. And so, you know, this is what we miss in medicine when we're developing medications is we forget that the body is not a robot. It's not a machine. It's a thinking organism. It is responding constantly to environmental inputs, and your body is not just some dead machine that's just going to respond to one reaction. It's going to find its way around the problem. And the reason people are depressed is multifaceted, obviously. And so your body is always working perfectly, believe it or not, right? it's working perfectly with what it has to work with. And so even when we are in a diseased state, the body is actually working perfectly with what it has available to it. And so this is really important for us to know, because if we see that we're not in a good place, if we see that we're struggling, we're getting sick, or we're depressed, or we're anxious, it's because the body is either missing things it needs, or something is in its way that it needs to have removed from its way, but it can't do it on its own. And so knowing what that is and making those corrections to help the body is what will lift depression and reduce anxiety. And so you have to first find out, why did I need this medication? Like, what's going on metabolically in my body? Which also affects the brain, right? So I always say this, I say mental health is not really fully mental. You know, there's a physiological component that we have to look at, and it's not just neurotransmitters. It's everything to do with our metabolism. We have to look at these things and correct them. And then once we do that, we take away the reason we needed the medication, right? So once your body has what it needs to fully function, it will do so. So if there's a heavy metal lodged in your body, for example, like arsenic or mercury or something, and it cannot perform its functions, it can't perform its metabolism, which means it can't make its energy properly because this mercury and this arsenic is in its way. It's lodged in the mechanism of how your body would make its energy. Your energy is going to drop, right? And so you're going to feel tired and also depressed, right? The word depressed is lowered, you know, something is being lowered, your energy is being lowered, and that will affect your mental and physical energy. And so once you remove the mercury, once you remove the arsenic, if that was all that was the problem, your body will start making energy again, and the depression will lift, right? And then you will have resolved the reason you needed the medication. So I always tell people, never stop your medication until you have resolved what caused you to need it. So what you're doing then is you're rendering the medication obsolete. You're not just stopping it and hoping for the best. That's dangerous, right? But what you do is you fill in the gaps of why you needed it, and then you slowly tease it away. Now, of course, you need to do that under the care of a physician. Your best bet would be a board certified integrative medical doctor, because, you know, we are trained in obviously prescribing medications, as well as looking at the more holistic, you know, mind, body, spirit approaches that are needed today to help, you know, improve this mental health, you know, disaster that we're facing as an entire world. And so that's the reason some people say my medication works and others say my medication doesn't work. It depends on what else is going on under the surface. And so the medication by itself is not likely to be, you know, a one size fits all solution. So that's another wonderful question. So moving on to mistake number two, carbohydrates, carbs. And so nature likes to be balanced. So we'll find studies that say too many carbs cause depression. We'll also find studies that say too few carbs cause depression, right? And so you have to have your carbs balanced, right? And once you have your carbs balanced, that will help. Now, that's easier said than done, right? Because some people will say, yeah, but if I don't stay on my, you know, low carb diet, I'll gain weight. And then there are other people who will say, but I have all these crazy cravings that I can't control, right? So if it were as simple as, you know, choosing to eat a certain amount of carbs, then, you know, our problems would be solved a lot faster. But carb cravings, right? So people that have carbohydrate cravings, so a craving is your body saying, hey, I need more energy, please feed me. Now, the quickest, dirtiest way to get energy is to eat carbs, right? That's the fuel that your body can most efficiently burn and use for fuel. The problem is it can only use so much at a time. And so if we overeat carbs, we set up a huge inflammatory response. And then we also set up a big cortisol spike, and a big, what we call insulin surge. So cortisol is a stress hormone. So when we eat too much sugar, cortisol will go up in response to the stress of that. Also, what will happen is insulin will then eventually go up. And so when insulin goes up, that's going to drive the carbohydrates down. And so your body is going to drive the carbs into the cells because your body knows that carbs are toxic. And so when you eat too many carbs, it's a stress to your body. So you get this big cortisol stress response from that. But you also get this alarm that's set off in the body that says, please get the sugar out of the bloodstream. So sugar is sticky. It's nasty. Just like when you spill it on your countertop, it's nasty and sticky. It's the same way inside the blood vessels. And so your body knows if I don't get the sugar out of my blood vessels, I'm going to have a heart attack. And so it will drive it into your body, into the cells. Now, once it's inside your cells, there's a fork in the road. And so your cells only have two choices. One is to burn it immediately as fuel. The other is to store it as fat. And so your cells can only use so much fuel at a time. So if you have carb cravings and you overeat carbs, you're going to store a lot of that as fat. But what you're going to do even more is drive inflammation. So we talked before in other podcasts about how inflammation and fat go together. And so what do you do when that's the setup, right? Because carb cravings, are almost addictive, right? You can't outwill a craving. It's really hard to outwill a craving because it's a physiological response that your body is going through. And so you have to convince your body that it doesn't need the carbs, right? Now, there are several ways to do that. One is if you're in the habit of not eating breakfast and you're having carb cravings, especially later in the day, that's a huge warning sign that you need to eat earlier in the day and that you've got to eat breakfast. The best way to get rid of carb cravings is to eat consistently through the day, roughly every 3 hours, starting about 30 to 45 minutes after you wake up. And make sure that you have a good bit of protein. Most people will need, I'm a big protein fan, and now studies are starting to come out to say that we have not been recommending enough protein to people, and that we've been grossly underestimating how much protein people actually need. And a lot of my clients are like, I need to eat how much protein? And I'm like, yeah, you need to eat at least 100 grams. I have some clients that I'll ask to eat 150 grams of protein a day. And that sounds like a lot, but it's actually not. If you look at the newer studies that have come out to show that we need more protein than we think. Now, you have to be very careful about your choice of protein because we've strayed from nature so much, we have made our protein sources pretty much toxic. So we have to be extremely careful about how we select our protein sources, how we select our meats, how we select our poultry, our fish, shakes that we go into the store to buy are toxic. So you want to be very careful that you're eating organic, grass-fed, grass-finished beef, cage-free, poultry, wild caught fish. And again, watch out for the farm raised in the ocean. That's not wild caught. So you want to make sure that your fish is wild caught. You want to make sure that your protein shakes are not genetically modified and that they're organic to the best of your ability. And so you want to become very wise about protein. And so protein and leafy vegetables should be taking up most of your plate in the morning. And then you can have some root vegetables in the morning if you like, or some grains, quinoa, oatmeal, those types of things will complement protein as well. You can have, omelets. You can have dinner for breakfast, right? There's no law against having what you had for dinner for breakfast. The idea of a continental breakfast really causes a lot of excess sugar consumption. And so having just a regular meal for breakfast would probably be a better idea. And so make sure that you're eating sufficiently earlier in the day so you don't get those cravings at night. Because the first thing you'll reach for when you're hungry is a carb, right? Because that's just a physiological, it's almost an addiction in a certain sense. And so to break that habit, you have to eat enough early in the day, and then you'll break the carb craving. So once you have enough protein, what happens is you don't get the crazy cortisol and insulin back and forth. And so things balance out. And so you don't have the cravings. A study done by my alma mater, Columbia University, showed that excessive carb consumption increases the risk of depression and anxiety. So we always understood that when people are depressed and anxious, they eat more carbs. What they did is they looked at the reverse and they said, do people have an increased risk of depression from eating too much carb? And the answer to that question was yes. And so that's one quick fix for getting out of that carb craving cycle. And eat every 3 hours. So if you're not hungry, which a lot of people are not hungry, have something light in the morning, but don't skip breakfast if you have carb cravings later at night. Now, there's also studies to say if you don't eat enough carbs, there's an increased risk of depression and anxiety, right? And that one's fairly easy to figure out. That one is basically you're not feeding the body enough that it can make energy. And again, depression is a lack of energy. A lack of physiological energy that will then affect your mind. And so so people that eliminate carbs from their diet entirely, that's also dangerous, right? Now, yes, your body can convert protein to carbs, but that's an extra step. So you want to make sure that you have enough carbs, but not too much carbs, right? So you can figure out your, and we teach this in our online course, the Wellness Warrior 9-week transformation program, but there's a simple formula. I think you can go to calculator.net if I have the link right in my head, and look at your lean body mass. Once you know your lean body mass, you want to have at least a gram of protein per pound of lean body mass. Some people will need a gram and a half of protein per pound of lean body mass. What that equates to is somewhere between 100 to 150 grams of protein a day. Now, to figure out how much carb should I be eating, you double that. So let's say you need 100 grams of protein for the day. That means you need 200 grams of carbs for the day. So you need twice as much carb as protein to have a decent balance, most people. The old recommendations are 4 times as much carb as protein. And that was partly because we were underestimating how much protein people needed. So as we increase the protein, we have to correspondingly reduce the carbs. Otherwise, people will be eating too many calories, right? So that's we teach that in much more detail in the online course that we teach, but that's just a quick and dirty way that you can figure it out. That way you hit a sweet spot of how much carb do I actually need. That way your body's getting enough energy, but not too much that it doesn't know what to do with it, that it will convert that into something that will increase your risk of mental health disorders. I think we had another question. We need to go to a commercial first. So let's go to the commercial break. When we come back, we'll tackle these questions and then we'll hit mistake number three. Mistake number three that people make that increase their risk of mental health disorders. So you're listening to Awakened Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milena Ryobe, and we will be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milin is the medical director of the Rio Bay Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milin Ryobe. And I had a question come in from a viewer. Let me pull it up again. So CQ, hello, says, great show. Are there any studies linking the use of meds typically used in mental health treatment leading to dementia? Yes, there actually are. They're not widespread, and the link is not well determined yet. But we can kind of do a thought experiment on that, right? Basically, when you drive a function artificially in the body, that will affect the brain. It's almost inevitable that there will be some negative consequences of that in the brain, right? And throughout the rest of the body, right? And this is part of the reason why getting off antidepressants is so difficult for some people with the physiological symptoms that they get. So people have to stop their antidepressants very slowly and gradually because there's this huge, what we call a fluid shift in the body. So because we're 99% water molecules by molecule, 99% water by molecules. Basically, everything affects water in the body. So when you are artificially driving a chemical reaction in the body, some negative impact will be occurring at the same time that your body will be trying to figure out in the background somewhere. Sometimes those come out as side effects immediately. Sometimes they come out later, years later. And so we never quite relate the two, right? So, there's no question that something that is blocking the body's ability to reduce serotonin is going to have some long-term consequence in the brain. Whether we would recognize that as dementia or something else, so there aren't that many studies yet, but I think that's simply because they just haven't been done yet. And I don't think the dementia doesn't come right away, right? So when something doesn't happen right away after we take a medication, we don't link it, even though it's responsible for what happens 10 years later. Just like the hormone study that came out in 2004, right? We had been taking, you know, prescribing these hormones for 40 plus years before the study was done, without batting an eyelash over it. And then the study, because it was done long enough to catch the link between using these artificial hormones and the increased risk of cancer and strokes, suddenly the light bulb went off that this particular hormone was causing cancer and strokes, but it was 5 years later. And so that's the reason why when there's not an immediate side effect, we tend to think that, oh, that particular medication can't be causing this problem. But, you know, it does. It just takes a while. It's like a slow leak. You know, it's like the backup in the plumbing, you know, so it's just one drop at a time falling into the sink, but eventually as the drops accumulate, it'll flood over, right? It's the same thing with medication. And so again, I'm not suggesting that anyone ever stop their medication. That's the first thing I tell people is do not stop your medications. But if you are working closely enough with a board certified integrative medical doctor, you might be able to render the medications obsolete eventually, and then only under very close guidance should you consider going off of them. You know, you have to plug in the holes that caused you to require the medication. But yes, there are some studies coming out. I just think it's a matter of time before the links are made. You know, and so yes, there are some. There aren't many, but there are definitely some links. So that's a great question. Thank you for it. So mistake number three that we make that increases our risk of mental health disorders is the lack of an accountability partner, right? Accountability means a lot. And I think that's why therapy works so well, right? It's really that you have an accountability partner. It's the accountability. It's knowing that you've got somebody you're going to check in with. Who's giving you some trusted advice, trusted information, and then you're going to go back and talk to that person or have a conversation, interaction with that person. It's the same thing with fitness, right? People get trainers because of the accountability, not because they want to learn how to work out. It's actually the accountability that's effective. And so I think when people start to look at it as more, I'm going to get an accountability partner as opposed to I got to go into therapy, I think it softens the stigma that's associated with therapy. And it's really just more of a human nature of wanting companionship, a human nature of wanting to be understood and heard and seen. And so that accountability partner, just like when somebody, you know, wants to go get into good shape, they either get a trainer for accountability or they get a buddy, right? They you know, hit up their best friend and they're going to go walk the bridge or they're going to go to the gym together. It's no different for mental health, right? Having an accountability partner, whether that is a professional, and, you know, if you have significant symptoms of depression and anxiety, it should be a professional for sure. But also adding an accountability partner, a trusted friend or colleague, you know, a really good friend who is not also depressed, right? You want to make sure you pick your accountability partners wisely. I tell people when you go into the gym to pick a trainer, don't pick somebody that's outside smoking and drinking beer, right? You want to pick somebody that's living the lifestyle you want to live, that looks the way you want to look, right? Because then you know, like, this person is serious. They actually walk their talk. So it's the same thing for an accountability partner. You know, you want to make sure that person's walking the talk and they will be uplifting in every way. Now that, you know, you don't want to put people on a pedestal and put a bunch of pressure on them to be perfect. So it's not that they're going to be perfect, but someone who doesn't, you know, judge you, someone who is going to understand you, but not enable you, right? So you don't want an enabler who goes along with everything. You want a really good friend who's going to tell you you know, when you're kind of straying off the path, right? If you're not going to bed on time, if you're not eating right, right? They're going to help you in a very gentle and kind way to see that in a mirror. That's the kind of accountability partner I'm talking about. And so these are just, you know, some things that, of course, mental health is a huge, broad topic, but there is a way that regardless of the chaos that's going on around in the world, there's a way that you can create internally a world that uplifts you regardless of what's going on around you, right? And it's the journey of doing that and being in that space that prevents mental health disorders. And so if we look out into the world and we absorb everything that's going on and allow that to inform how we feel, you know, that's a quick spiral down, right? So it's really an inward journey. And so the accountability partner is not so that you have someone to lean on or depend on. It's really so that your energies can kind of join and uplift each other, right? So you're still doing your own internal work, right? So again, you're not looking for an enabler, but you are looking for someone who is going to help to uplift you so that you can do your own internal work, right? So that you can know, okay, it's time to go meet whoever your buddy is and go walk in the forest, right? Or go walk on the beach, or, you know, whatever, go out dancing, right? Do something that is going to uplift you together, right? And that person, you want that person to kind of be living a fairly clean lifestyle, right? You don't want that person dragging you to the bar, you know, and doing things that you know are not going to be good for what you're trying to achieve. So an accountability partner is super important, and a therapist is super important. You always want to have that rock, that professional person that is going to be non-judgmental, that, you know, will not be swayed or shocked by anything that you have to say or how you feel, who is just really going to be there to give you like some solid advice and also to help you look inward so that you can release some of the things that might be causing you to feel the way you feel. And so accountability is probably one of the most important things that I recommend to my clients. And so that is, I think, all the time we have. Let me make sure we don't have. Question. We still definitely have our online course. So the Wellness Warrior 9-week transformation program is still up and running. It is an ongoing course, so it's always in play. And so if you want to know more, go to awakenedwellnessnow.com. And I do have a live training there to give you a really good idea of what we do in the course. And I would love for you to join me. It's a great course where we do, it's a 9-week transformation program with live lessons, live Q&A. We really teach you basically how to know your dynamic metabolic type and how to help you beat fatigue and burnout. So mental health is a form of mental burnout. So the 9-week transformation program can also help with that as well. So thank you so much. That's all the time we have for today's show. Thank you for joining me. Happy spring. Wonderful new adventures await us all. And thank you. Until next time, many, many blessings.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit ryobeintegrativemedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.